Okay, I don't know about you, but I really was excited to at least see one sliver of snow this morning. I went, yes, it's here, really, yay. And looking at this week, came to a few conclusions. Isn't it interesting that the gospel reading, as well as Jonah, is really about gathering people for the kingdom of God, making disciples in both. The stories are a little different. Jesus did not go through what Jonah went through, but nonetheless, both were about making disciples for the kingdom. Which leads me to think, we all have different experiences on our faith journey. We all have different experiences as we travel through and on the path that God has led us to. This one with Jesus was simply, come and follow me. And they did. We have those experiences sometimes where there is no fight, no anger, no muss, no struggle. We simply hear the voice of God, and it is so loud and inviting and overpowering that we can't help but simply put our nets aside, whatever those nets may be, and follow. And then we see Jonah. And I love it. Because Jonah is going to tell God, okay, those can be disciples, but God, those cannot be disciples. No way. And then he hears from God, Jonah, guess who you need to talk to? No, absolutely not. Those people aren't worthy of it, and I won't do it. Please don't take offense that I'm pointing over here. It has nothing to do with you, with anyone over here. But Jonah is emphatic. I will not go to these people. And he runs. And he runs to the most dangerous place, to an ancient Hebrew, you could run onto the water. Because it was believed in that ancient tradition that the water was dangerous and held the deep and scary sea creatures and monsters, the Leviathan, and all of these things that could swallow you up. And one did. Now, I don't know about you, maybe just me, but there are sometimes I feel like I walk into the most dangerous waters or dangerous places to run from God. I run far and fast, thinking that if I run, I will be free of what I'm called to do. Am I the only one in this room that does that? Okay, I was kind of freaking out a little bit. And then we find ourselves feeling as if we are underwater with this giant thing that we can't seem to get away from and appears to swallow us whole. And we say, how in the world have we gotten here? How have I found myself fully submerged in the belly of this thing And when all hope is lost, God steps in. And we find ourselves redirected. And in this text, literally, it says he was regurgitated out. That's a disgusting image. But we find ourselves delivered out of this with maybe a new awareness that we go where we're led to go, and we preach to those, and we speak to those who need to hear the word of God. I love what Jonah does afterwards. Jonah doesn't emphatically go into Nineveh. He goes and says what God instructs him to say. And says, okay, I did it. Bye. And then the most amazing thing happened. The people were transformed and had a renewal of spirit and believed. They believed in God. Now you think, and this is where I'm going to preach, and I'm warning you, I'm about to head from preaching to meddling right here. Here it is. You think Jonah would be happy. There are new people in the kingdom now. There are new people that have been delivered into the hands of the Almighty God. Hallelujah! The revival was successful. What does he do? He does something that the Germans have a word for that we don't. It's called Schadenfreude. Meaning, others that you find pleasure in other people's pain. So-and-so hurt me, and so I am going to be laughing and grateful when something bad happens to them. Now, here's where it goes to meddling. I think we've all been there. Where we kind of say, you know, that person really treated me bad. So therefore, good luck. Good luck. Now, granted, that's not very Christian. But honestly, it's the truth. But God wants us to be better than that. God wants us to say, rejoice and be glad that the kingdom of God is within us, that the kingdom of God moves through us and with us. Jonah, stop feeling sorry for yourself. These people are mine now. And he teaches and he leaves this text open. And I love it. We don't know what Jonah does when God says, hey, what do you think or what are you supposed to do now that these people have accepted me? Will you go back and invite them in to be one? And before Jonah answers the question, that's the end of the story. As God does every parable, chapter is an open-ended question. What are you going to do with this? Do you run and say, shucks, I didn't intend that to happen? Or do you go forward and say, thank you, I'm so glad you're here? Do we offer hospitality? Do we offer hospitality to those who have wronged us, who have now found the faith? We are challenged to be people whose hearts are changed and who changes hearts. And this small little book, this parable, challenges us to look at how we treat our fellow human beings, how we treat others, and how we treat those who have come in to the kingdom. What do we do? Do we run or do we offer hospitality? And that is the question in which we live. So, we have these disciples and Jonah who aren't sure what to do because they got a prophet that isn't that excited about it. And then we have the disciples of Jesus in the gospel who ran into the arms of the Father, eagerly waiting to embrace them. May we remember, O church, that we are called to welcome the stranger with the hopes that they may be disciples and they may see the goodness of God in our actions and by our love. Let us remember that and move forward with the good news of hope. For it is in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we give honor and glory and praise to you, Almighty Father. Amen.